One of the things I like about being a pastor is that on any given day, I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing. Now, I can tell you that in any given week, of course, I've got to write a sermon. Usually, most weeks, I'll do some form of visitation. I'll have conversations with various people in the church, although I couldn't tell you from week to week who those might be. And so there is a rhythm to the work of being a pastor, for sure. But it's not the same thing day after day after day after day, which I think would honestly, in any line of work, would drive me nuts. I just would not do well with that set, definite pattern. But the odd thing I notice is the places that I see God the most in my life are in those things that have become for me that set pattern. When I arrive here, pretty much every morning when I arrive to the church during the week, I come into this room and I walk and I pray. And I just do laps for 20 to 30 minutes, depending on what time I get in here and what I got to do and all that stuff. I at least walk a mile, though. And as I walk and I pray, it's normal that God shows up in that time. If nothing else, he uses that time to calm me and to give me peace about whatever happens to be the issue of the day, the problem of the day, whatever's going on, whether it be in my home life or here at the church, God shows up during that time of prayer, that time of walking, and brings me peace. Pretty much every day I read the scriptures. I'd like to say I read them every day, but I'm human like the rest of you, so there are days where I miss. But when I read the scriptures, it doesn't matter how many times I've read it, it is unusual for God not to show up in the midst of my reading the scriptures. And not only is it not unusual for him to show up when I'm reading, but it's not unusual for him to point out something new in the scriptures that day. To point out something I haven't seen before. To show it to me. And to touch me in a way that I have not been touched by that scripture. And then God shows up every month in the taking of communion. Now I know that this is not a traditional service, but please don't tell me you don't have traditions, because you do. I know I've broken some of them and I hear about it. Every service has a liturgy, which is another way of saying tradition. They do. And God shows up in the midst of that liturgy. God shows up in the midst of that tradition. The funny thing about God is he tends to do new things, but when he shows up to do those new things, he does them in ways that are familiar, in places that are familiar. Listen to the scripture for today from Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 25. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion, "The Lord had done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." So there goes Zechariah, doing what his family had done, not just for generations, but for maybe close to a millennia. He went as a priest and served in the temple in Jerusalem. And so he goes and does what his father had done and his grandfather had done and his great-grandfather had done when called upon. And he's in and he's serving in the temple, going through the tradition, the liturgy. And his job was to light and burn the incense. And as Zechariah goes and he goes up to the altar of the incense, he sees an angel. Now, please understand what an angel is in Scripture. I mean, we got this picture of these guys with wings or women with wings that we see in our commercials, and they got harps and they're strumming them and they're sitting on a cloud and they're wearing robes. Okay, that's not an angel in the Bible. It is a nice depiction of something. I'm not sure what. But an angel in the Bible is simply this. It's a messenger. Matter of fact, we get the word angel from the Greek word angelos, which means, surprisingly, messenger. And so what we see before him is a divine messenger who happens to be named Gabriel. And he tells John, who we're told in the scriptures is a pretty old guy. Now, I don't know exactly how old John is. I don't know how old was considered in their time, but he was... He and his wife were both actually beyond childbearing age. And the angel says to John, "Hey, you're going to have a kid. Your wife's going to have a baby. You need to name him John. And so John goes through this whole spiel. He doesn't believe. He's going, how can this be? Which honestly, can any of us blame him? I mean, if you're beyond childbearing age, you're beyond childbearing age. I mean, that's just a biological fact, a scientific fact. And so John has the reaction that we'd all have, but the angel silences him, and the people are waiting because John had been gone a long time. I'd imagine it doesn't take long to burn the incense. But John's gone a little while, and he comes out, and all he can do is gesture to him because he can't talk. And they know that God has done something. They aren't sure what God has done, but they know that God has done something. God does unexpected things in expected ways and places. God does unexpected things in expected ways and places. In other words, as we have entered into this time of Advent, and Advent is a season of preparation. You know, in the church, what I have noticed, and I think this is my 19th Advent season as a pastor, is everyone is anxious to skip over Advent. And they want to skip to Christmas. The first and most frequent question I have received during the season of Advent in my time as a pastor is, when can we sing Christmas carols? And my answer always wants to be, although I've never actually said it, is when we actually get to the season of Christmas. Advent is the season that prepares us. Advent is the season that reminds us that God is still working, that God is still present, and that God still does unexpected things. In the same old places. God is still at work. And so how does God work? Well, first, God works through tradition. Luke 1:11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. So we're at a contemporary service, and I tell you that God works through tradition. And the truth is that God works through tradition. And we still have tradition. Every week you come here, you know you're going to hear a sermon. You know you're going to sing. You know you're going to pray. Now we may do it in a different manner than we do it at the other two services, but I got to tell you, you still have tradition. Every week you know you're going to have donuts and coffee. You got tradition. Every month you know you're going to take communion. You've got tradition. You may do it differently, but you still got it. And you know what? Every other contemporary service in the world has tradition. Their tradition may be different than our tradition, but they got tradition. Tradition is what binds people together, to quote Tony Campolo, the noted theologian and preacher. God works through tradition. Zechariah went up to the altar of incense, and there was an angel of the Lord waiting to deliver a message, telling Zechariah that he was going to have a son, that he needed to name him John, and that John was going to prepare the way for one to follow. God works through tradition. Second, God works through faith. Zechariah 1:18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." So in non-Bible speak, my wife and I are too old to have kids. As I said earlier, I think that all of us more than likely would say this in that situation, right? I don't know that Ruthie and I are too old to have kids biologically, but we are too old to put up with young kids and babies, because you saw how my mind was after sleeping for 5 hours last night. I don't think I got 5 hours of sleep in the first 4 years of either of the girls' lives. I think all of us can relate to Zechariah. Wait a second, how is this going to happen? I mean, it may have been a pre-scientific people, but they knew that old people didn't have babies. But Elizabeth, not Zechariah, the priest's wife, not the priest, is the one that's shown to be the person of faith. She believed. She celebrated that God was doing a new thing. God works through faith. Do we believe in this season of Advent that God is preparing to do a new thing in our midst? Do we believe that the God of the Scriptures is still working? Do we have faith that God is going to work in our midst at this time, in this place? God works through faith. Elizabeth had faith. And Zechariah was a little on the questionable side. But Elizabeth had faith. God works through faith. Third, God works faithfully. Luke 1:24 through 25. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." God worked faithfully. So despite the fact that Zechariah had doubts, God still worked. And we see this throughout the Old and the New Testaments. God remains faithful even when his people don't. God is faithful. How many of you showed up this morning expecting God to work in our midst today? How many of you showed up this morning expecting that God might do something new in our presence, even as we do something we have done time after time after time? I believe that God is about to do a new thing in our presence during this season of Advent. I believe that God is still working in our midst, despite what I see around me. Look, I know we got problems. We don't have as many people here as we'd like. We don't bring in as much money as we, well, would like or need. We have a hard time making our mortgage. We got problems. I know we got problems. We're surrounded by a culture that isn't going to church as much, if at all. Once out of every 6 weeks is the average. It used to be 3 times a week, back when my parents were growing up. 3 times a week to once every 6 weeks in a couple generations. Those aren't encouraging demographics. And I'm a numbers person. But here's what I believe. I believe that this Advent, God is preparing us to do a new thing. I believe that this Advent, that God is getting ready to do a new thing. That God is going to work in our midst, and I think it's going to surprise us. But I think we need to get ready. I think we need to remain faithful. And most of all, I think we need to take the season of Advent, the season which is a time of preparation, and prepare our hearts for what God is about to do. And I think we need to take the season of Advent as a time of repentance. To repent for all those times where we have failed to believe, where we have been like Zechariah and doubted how God would work in our midst. And so the goal this week is look for what God is doing all around you. Look, God works in small ways and He works in big ways. But we need to learn to open our eyes so that we see when God is working in our midst. And so look for the ways that God is working around you. Would you pray with me? Lord our God, show us what you are about to do. Prepare us, God, because we know and we trust that you are going to do a new thing in our midst during this season of Advent. Help us to believe. And to have faith that you are about to work as we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.